lawmakers vote to prolong fossil fuel gas subsidies until 2027. The article was published by The Guardian Daily. Please stay tuned. European lawmakers have voted to prolong subsidies for fossil fuel gas until 2027, opening a potential backdoor for pollution that campaigners said would be a disaster for the climate if it becomes law. Members of the European Parliament's Industry Committee voted on Tuesday, September 28, to allow the EU to continue subsidizing natural gas pipelines until the end of 2027, as long as the energy is mixed with an unspecified amount of hydrogen. Hydrogen, which can be made from fossil gas or renewable sources, is seen by policymakers as a vital stepping stone to net zero emissions by 2050. The committee also voted to allow natural gas projects such as pipelines and storage facilities to be eligible for special status that will speed up their approval, although they ruled out access to EU grants for such projects. Campaigners estimate between 50 and 70 natural gas projects could obtain Project of Common Interest status, an EU seal of approval that helps plans get off the drawing board, gain access to finance and exemptions from EU competition rules. The campaign group Global Witness estimates that about 70 gas projects could be eligible, producing 213 metric tons of CO2 emissions a year, equivalent to Germany's coal burning in 2018. The two controversial amendments to the EU's Trans-European Energy Infrastructure Regulation were approved by MEPs barely 3 months after the European Commission said the world was entering a make-or-break decade to tackle the climate crisis. The Commission's original 10E text proposed sweeping away special status for all natural gas projects as part of the Union's effort to hit net zero emissions by 2050. In May, the International Energy Agency said rich countries should decarbonize electricity generation by 2035, while calling for an immediate stop to the approval of new oil and gas fields. The European Parliament, which elected a record number of green MEPs in 2019, is usually the most ambitious player on the climate emergency in the world of EU lawmaking. However, on this occasion, campaigners were surprised and disappointed when MEPs watered down the original plans by allowing natural gas companies to continue competing for a special status and open the door for subsidies for any gas company that claims to be hydrogen-ready. Under the Parliament's compromise on blending energy companies, blending an unspecified mix of fossil fuel gas and hydrogen are eligible for EU subsidies until 2027, as long as they have a plan to drop gas by the end of the decade. Even once EU subsidies are stripped away, the same gas-hydrogen pipeline will be eligible for fast-track approval until the end of 2029. The MEP position was drafted by Zdzisław Krasnodowski, a member of Poland's ultra-conservative Law and Justice Party, who is vice chair of the Parliament's Industry Committee. He said the objective of this revision is to align the 10E regulation with the objectives of the European Green Deal. However, we should also bear in mind that energy union priorities remain valid and should still be reflected in the rules governing the support for important energy infrastructure projects. In addition to sustainability, he said projects would be evaluated based on their contribution to energy security, market integration, and affordability for consumers. His final compromise was supported by most MEPs in the largest political groups, including the centre-right European People's Party, the centre-left Socialists and Democrats, and the centrist Renew Group. Green MEPs abstained. The Parliament will now enter negotiations with EU energy ministers, who left much less room for gas projects when they agreed their negotiating red lines earlier this year. Tara Connolly, a senior campaigner at Global Witness, said, "Today's vote would be a disaster for the climate if it ends up being reflected in the final law," adding, "The science is clear. We need to urgently phase out fossil gas to prevent the worst effects of climate breakdown. EU member states must not fall for this giveaway to the fossil fuel industry and close the loopholes which would allow fossil gas subsidies when negotiations start." Erik Bergqvist, a Swedish Social Democrat MEP involved in the compromise, claimed it was the best possible agreement. Erik said, "What would be the alternative have been? Of course, we could have stepped up negotiations, but then we know we would have had a result that would have been much worse. The main thing that we have been asking for is an end date for fossil fuel investment. It's better to have an end date, otherwise there wouldn't be a phase out." He voiced optimism that EU-subsidized fossil fuel gas would only exist in small quantities when blended with low CO2 hydrogen. He noted, "We have to remember that blending is low carbon. The main proportion will be renewable hydrogen gas." While he acknowledged that the fossil gas hydrogen mix had yet to be defined, a task for another EU negotiation, he insisted it would be quite narrow and quite tough on fossil fuels. The hydrogen fossil gas blend cannot be 95% carbon dioxide. Green campaigners do not share this optimism. They would reserve scarce and expensive renewable hydrogen for industries that are difficult to decarbonize, such as fertilizers. Connolly said mixing hydrogen with natural gas is not efficient, adding, "You want to use hydrogen where it is most valuable, otherwise you put a huge amount of cost on everyone."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We are looking at the supplications of Al-Imam Sajjad Salamullah alayhi in the book As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah. Supplication number 8, the Imam Salamullah alayhi seeks refuge in Allah from few things. The first in the list is greed, Al-Hirs. When we look at the word Hirs from the Quran, we see it used in good ways and in bad ways. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he attaches this word Hirs to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala, greed. But in what context? He says, for example, Allah in the Quran, Harisun alaykum. When it comes to him and how he deals with you, he has this greed over you. In the sense what? In the sense that he loves you so much and he is so attached to you that he wants to make sure that you are guided. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet has this love for his ummah, for his nation, so he has this hirs towards them, that he wants to see them safe and guided. So it's used in a good way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Messenger, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Most people, even if you have this greed towards them, even if you have this extreme love towards them, they will not be guided. Because guidance comes from them willingly. So hirs again was used here in the context and attached to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a good context. And then again Allah, another verse, he says, even if you have this immense amount of greed towards them, that you try to bring them to you or to guide them, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ يُضِلْ, for Allah will not allow or guide those who are misguided. Let us take a break and we'll continue inshallah.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're still listening to Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So from these verses, we find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word hirs, which is translated to English as greed, in a good way. That when it comes to loving people and trying to save people and trying to guide people, Allah attaches that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. When it is used in a negative way in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says to give us how we can use hirs or greed in a bad way. When Allah talks about the Jews in the Quran, He says you will find them the most greedy people when it comes to this life. Meaning they want to live forever. And Allah continues in the verses, He says, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُوا أَلْفَ سَنَةً, that each of them would love to live 1,000 years. That's how much they have greed towards this life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes here, He uses it what? In a bad way. That it's not a good thing to be haris on dunya. It's not haris to be on materialistic stuff. It's not good to be greedy when it comes to wanting and hoarding, even if you want to live forever. Because as human beings, we love perfection and we think that our perfection lies in us having eternal life, which is true. But it wasn't meant to be here. It was meant to be somewhere else. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, interestingly, uses the same word hirs when He talks about women and men and marrying more than one. And Allah says, you will not be able to be fair between your wives, even if you have the state of hirs, the state of greed, that you try to be fair to them. Allah says you can't. It's impossible. So sometimes a person could be married to two women and he tries his best to become fair and just to both of them. Allah says, don't bother yourself. You won't be, no matter how harious you are. So in these words of the Quran, we see that sometimes it is used to describe a state of a person wanting to help someone so much to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, don't do it, leave it alone. And sometimes now when it comes to our materialistic life, Allah says that is a bad thing. Let us take a break and inshallah we'll continue after the break.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So we said, when it comes to greed, we have good greed and we have bad greed. The good greed, it's a mental state. It's in our souls, in our brains, that we want something good for other people. So when Allah says in the Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَلِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, Allah says, we have sent you a messenger from among yourself. He is honored and he puts a lot of trouble when it comes to hirs over you, when it comes to him wanting to guide you, wanting to make sure that you guys are okay. So linguistically, if we look at the word greed in Arabic, hirs, linguistically, it's a good thing. But practically, it becomes a moral vice. And that's how we can differentiate between the two. So sometimes I have hirs over my family, meaning I want to protect my family. I want to make sure they are safe. I have hirs towards my deen, towards my religion. I want to protect my religion. So when it comes to the linguistic aspect of it, the inner meaning of it, it's a good thing. But when it takes form on the outside, when it becomes practical, then that's where it becomes a vice, it becomes a sin. So in the Quran, it's used in this context. However, in the ahadith and in the classes of morality and in the realm of morality, always greed looked at as a bad thing and as a moral vice. And therefore, Imam Sajjad Salamullah Alayhi asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him, to safeguard him from this moral vice. And as we said before in other episodes, that hirs itself and greed itself, obviously it has prerequisites. It just doesn't appear by itself. There are steps that a person takes to become a haris. For example, we see in the Quran that the people of Shu'aib, when they talk to him, or when he talks to them, he mentioned a few things that led his people to become greedy. Inshallah, we will continue this topic in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al Musavi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Hargiz nagirat to abad aqa کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is some fresh food for thought in the form of a maxim from Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, the elder grandson and second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Read Relief is to protect the refugee, to be firm in misfortunes, and to be courageous in crises.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Brazil, paleontologists have discovered the fossilized remains of a dinosaur that lived roughly 70 million years ago.
It's a bipedal dinosaur with short arms, around 5 meters long, and it was at the top of the food chain in the period in which it lived. It was the predator at the time.
Paleontologists say the fossil suggests that the dinosaur species, known as Corpitalia, was a meat eater. They found the ancient predator's remains at one of Brazil's richest sites for dinosaur findings in the city of Sao Paulo. The first piece of Cupri's fossils were unearthed during an excavation work in 2002. Until the completion of the research, a model of this species would be on display at the Monte Alto Museum of Paleontology. Experts believe the discovery would help scientists better understand paleontology on Brazilian lands.
Most of us know the feeling of being moved by a work of art. A Kosovar artist tries to make us understand a form of political discourse through a mosaic of outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Alkent Pajogo has made a Merkel mosaic from seeds. The artist says he wished to thank the German leader for having been an example for all the women of the world. He says his work is also a tribute to the towering lady for the support she had given to his country, which declared its independence in 2008. Pajogo was doing his work on the same day Germans were voting in the general elections to choose a successor to Merkel. Alkan Pajogo holds 2 Guinness World Records for his giant mosaics made with seeds.
Technology plays an important role in our daily lives. This time, a French company has introduced a device to help the visually impaired to avoid obstacles. The smart electronic device detects obstacles and warns users with a beep. People with vision loss can install it on the top of their canes and receive information through headphones. The gadget helps people to dodge barriers on the ground and above that, for example, the open door of a truck.
If you hear the sound to the right, it means that the obstacle is on the right. If it is straight ahead, the obstacles are in front of you. So you change course according to what you hear. If you hear an obstacle to the left, you go to the right, and this way you can go around the obstacle.
The device costs around $2,300 and is now being used by hundreds of people in Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland.
Wally the Walrus has risen to fame with his extensive travels around Europe. Now the giant mammal has added Iceland to his list of trips. Wally has previously visited France, Spain and the UK. His last known location before Iceland was Ireland. Scientists were not sure at first if they had indeed seen Wally, but Seal Rescue Ireland recognized him from scars on his front flippers. The wandering walrus is 4 years old and weighs about a ton. He has covered a distance of around 5,000 kilometers in his recent trips. Wally is now on his way towards his home in the Arctic. The French zoo has had a very productive year, welcoming multiple new animals into its collection. Two pumas, two jaguars, nine Peruvian squirrel monkeys, and even rarer macaque twins are new additions to the Mingmi Zoo this summer. The animals were bred as part of a program designed to maintain and promote the conservation of endangered species. Once they reach the breeding age, these animals will be transported to other zoos to help boost the population of their species.
Now, a museum in Russia's Kaliningrad has unveiled a special exhibition to the public. It would not be exactly wrong to call the artworks out of trash. All the works exhibited are made of rubbish. The exhibition is showcasing a wide array of objects, including sculptures, musical instruments, robots, and costumes. The project was designed with the aim of raising awareness about recycling. People visiting the exhibition were delighted by the creative use of garbage. Only 7% of waste is recycled in Russia each year, while a vast amount of trash is stored in landfills.
An Egyptian artist is making incredibly tiny statues of famous historical figures and landmarks on pencil tips. 30-year-old Ibrahim Balala is based in the city of Rashid, south of Cairo. He has mastered the art of crafting miniature sculptures. Ibrahim mostly creates statues of Egyptian pharaohs, but Islamic, Greek, and Roman figures also feature in his portfolio. The artist received some criticism when he first ventured on his art, but he persevered and rose to prominence with his minuscule statues. Ibrahim's dream is to open a museum of miniature sculptures someday.
Fourteen lucky penguins have been returned to the seas off the Atlantic coast of Argentina after rehabilitating them from malnutrition and hypothermia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the chilly waters once they were released. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists in February. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile.
Another groundbreaking archaeological discovery in Peru is is now catching attention. 800-year-old human remains south of the capital, Lima, highlight the ancient burial rituals in the South American country. The remains of 8 adults and children buried in a common tomb were found by a group of workers laying gas pipes at the site. They were buried with food, dishes, and musical instruments, including flutes. Archaeologists say that the 8 people lived in the ancient town of Chitka, some 60 kilometers from Lima. They say some of the bodies were buried with the shells on their heads and had bags with cocoa leaves inside them. They say the discovery will shed more light on the pre-Hispanic history of the region. Another 30 human remains had been discovered in Chilca in 2018.
A taxi company in Thailand has turned its vehicles into mini vegetable gardens to help its drivers who are out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic.
The point of this project is so that employees have something to do to reduce stress. To a certain extent, it has helped with reducing our stress, but it isn't really the answer to the situation right now. Even though the drivers and the staff are able to harvest the vegetables for food, it's just part of solving the problem. I think the government should also step in to help us too.
The taxi company is growing vegetables on the roofs and hoods of 300 disused taxis that are parked idly. Prolonged COVID-19 lockdowns have affected the drivers' income negatively so that they are unable to pay the lease of their vehicles. Therefore, working in these gardens has reduced their stress and provided the drivers and their families with food.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Farmers working on the border between Venezuela and Colombia have discovered a tusk that is believed to belong to an American mastodon from 16,000 years ago.
We went to the place and the fossil was there, and then we realized it was something very important. We rescued it because there was a risk of it being lost, and at this moment, it's in the Archaeological and Paleontological Museum of Agualinda.
The experts say the discovery would help them with complementing information about extinct animals and ancient settlements. They say the finding of the tusk in the site would increase its potential contribution to scientific researchers. The discovery of mega faunal fossils in South America has been common over the past decades. In 2019, more than 800 mammoth bones were discovered near Mexico. A group of Cambodian students has designed a manned drone in an attempt to beat traffic. The drone has 8 propellers and a school chair for the pilot's seat. It can carry a human weighing up to 60 kilograms. The creative students say the drone is still in its early stages of development and testing. Equipped with 4 batteries, the human carrier drone can fly up to 4 meters and around 10 minutes above the ground.
Here we have big problems related to traffic jams, so we did some research about this before building the drone. We came up with this drone project as we had the idea that we wanted to solve some problems for our society by making a drone taxi, as well as investing drones for firefighters to help put out fires.
The prototype can or has cost around $20,000 to build. The designers say they need 2 more years to complete the project. The school has expressed hope that the drone could be used in everyday life.
Iran's capital, Tehran, has hosted an art show themed with aspiration for peace. Organized by the Economic Cooperation Organization, the event seeks to shed light on the beauty of a global peace through the language of art. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Each one of these delicate works of art are created by an artist from a different country, each trying a unique way to highlight the need for lasting peace in the world. Dubbed Aspiration for Peace, the art gallery is organized by Echo Cultural Institute with the aim of promoting global peace through the language of art.
By holding this event, we want to send a message of peace to all countries. We invited diplomats from all embassies here to gather and unite and celebrate a peaceful gathering. Also, the artworks showcased here are created by artists from various countries, and this represents how beautiful it is for nations to live peacefully.
Art helps connect different civilizations and nations. It helps us bridge the cultural gaps and find commonalities. This will establish mutual understanding and harmony among nations, and therefore conflicts can be avoided.
In some of the artworks, images immediately communicate with the audience, even if faces are veiled. These pictures try to narrate the story of Afghan women and an uncertain future that they're facing amid the Taliban's takeover of power in Afghanistan.
The events that are taking place in my country, Afghanistan, are so painful. It might take hours to tell you how hard it is for an Afghan girl to live in insecurity and uncertainty. But through the language of art, you can understand all these words without the need for translation.
The art show was held on the occasion of the International Day of Peace. Observed every year on September 21st, the occasion was introduced by the UN General Assembly as a chance to strengthen the ideals of peace through observing 24 hours of nonviolence and ceasefire.
A picture is worth a thousand words, and indeed, no words can be as strong as the strokes of an artist in speaking the beauty of peace. And this is how the universal language of art transcends the political and cultural boundaries and touches the hearts of viewers, no matter what language they speak. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
French slackliner has wowed watching crowds in Paris by crossing from the Eiffel Tower to the other side of the River Seine. Nathan Poulain walked across a rope suspended 17 meters above the ground. He finished the 600-meter course in half an hour. On one point, he sat and lay on the rope before arriving at his destination, the Chaillot Theatre. The 27-year-old daredevil practiced 4 years to perform this show. Poulain said that he was staying focused during the walk, and that was very challenging.
When I was young, I had fear of heights, and I learned to contain it. During the performance, I really didn't feel it. I really didn't have that problem. I felt some stress over starting it, but no vertigo, no.
Poulain said that it was an uneasy experience, but he was happy to share it with the public. The athlete started slacklining 10 years ago. In 2019, he performed a 510-meter-long walk between two skyscrapers in Paris.
Through the same is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio presents... Today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all around the world, Salaamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today's topic is about Arba'in procession.
Karbala. Karbala.
to go to the land of miracles, yearning to go. No matter how difficult to Karbala.
Today, Friday, is the 24th of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of the month of Mehr, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of Chapter Fajr, verses 21 to 26.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا.
No, when the earth has been leveled, pounded and crushed.
وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا.
And your Lord has come, and the angels rank upon rank.
وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى.
And brought within view that day is hell. That day man will remember. But what good to him will be the remembrance? He will say, Oh, I wish I had sent ahead some good for my life. So on that day, none will punish as severely as his punishment.
ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد.
And none will bind as severely as his binding of the evildoers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is understood that hell is movable and approaches the wrongdoers the same as heaven does for the righteous. Some commentators tend to define metaphorically the appearance of heaven and hell in front of the eyes of the good doers and the wrongdoers, and while there is no evidence available to contrast their evident meaning, still it is better to simply leave them as such.
I swear from my birth to my grave, and swear by God's creation, I was made only a slave, for the ship of salvation, for the one whose blood fell like rain, why should my blood not fall too? I'll raise my sword and shout Hussein, for you my vow I'll renew. I'll beat my chest, I'll never rest, all of my life I'd sacrifice. Your name beats in my heart, the truth so clear, even though we're apart, you're always near.
As usual, in this part, we'll look at the Arba'een Rally. Arba'een Rally, which is truly an unprecedented event, not only in our own times, but also in history. We do not know of any similar gathering in history which is organized more warmly every year. It is unprecedented. This Hussein movement is influential in raising awareness about Imam al-Hussein. Greetings be upon him. With the rally that primarily takes place between Najaf and Karbala every year, Arba'een has become global. The people all over the world are glued to this movement. Imam Hussein and Husseini Insight have become global thanks to this great popular movement. Today, the hearts of people throughout the world and the hearts of youth and innocent nations beat for such a truth. If Imam al-Hussein is introduced to the world, it is actually Islam and the Quran which have been introduced. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-sa'id. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Arba'in of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now we find that when it reached the day of Arba'in, we find that some survivors of the Ashura tragedy reached Karbala. And more importantly, we find that one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the name of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, who was a very old man by that time, reached Karbala in order to perform ziyarat unto Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now we find that those people who commemorated the day of Ashura, whether in Karbala in Iraq or elsewhere, they remain steadfast in the same path, in the same way. And this is a good indication that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's movement is always alive, and it wouldn't cease at any time in history. Throughout the history, there have been many attempts in order to wipe out the memory of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. However, we find that not only Muslims, but all people who are intellectual enough to appreciate the nicety and the significance of the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam commemorate his martyrdom both on Ashura and on Arba'in. We hope to be amongst those people who commemorate the day of Arba'in wherever we are. Thank you.
Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. I'll give my life and soul just to get to Karbala.
Arba'in Worldly March, focal point of Shia world's cultural diplomacy. Cultural diplomacy, as the fourth pillar of diplomacy, is a people-oriented process in which, even if governments play a role, the main players are people. Hence, the March on Arba'in of Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom, in addition to its religious manifestations, should be also considered a cultural diplomatic measure. The Islamic Republic of Iran, as the chief supporter of Shia Islam in the Muslim world, is one of the main governments in charge of the Arba'in March process. The assistance provided to the Iraqi government in all scenes, especially in the fight against Daesh and in the management of Arba'in March, signifies Iran's key and leading role in the Muslim world.
Oh Allah, I can't live without Hussein. How can I not see Bayn al-Haramain? My whole life just only has one aim, to be beside the one that was slain. Allahu Akbar, ya Karbala, ya Rabbi Ashik, ya Karbala.
Arba'in and resisting oppression. Indeed, there are so many lessons and values to be learned from this spiritual walk in which people from all over the world participate, irrespective of their sect, profession, social status, and religion. Thus, depicting that Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, does not belong to just one sect, but the entire humanity. To follow Imam al-Hussein does not only mean to stand against the oppressors of Imam al-Hussein's time, who ordered to kill the Imam and his followers. To follow Imam al-Hussein in today's time is to resist against the collective Yazid of our time, who are oppressing the oppressed and are the embodiment of social injustice, and to remain steadfast on this virtuous path.
One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, his name was Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'd. He was an old man at the time. He said, I came to Damascus and I saw there was a grand celebration. The Banu Umayyah, Yazid and his followers, they were celebrating. So I asked, is this a celebration? Is this a festival, a Eid I'm not aware of? What Eid is this? Some people told me, oh Sahl, no. This is no celebration that we have in Islam. Yazid has killed Hussein and he is celebrating. Sahl is very disturbed to hear this. So he now wants to go and see the family of Imam Hussein. You know, when they had them arrive Damascus, there was a gate called Bab al-Sa'a or Bab al-Sa'at. That was the main gate that would lead into the city. Yazid wanted to humiliate the family of Imam Hussein. So he told those who were guarding the family of Imam Hussein, and they brought them from Kufa, from Karbala. Yazid said, have them stand by the gate under the sun for 3 days. Then we'll give them permission to enter. Imagine the women and the children for 3 days. Was a very treacherous journey. Don't ever forget the sacrifice of Zainab alayhi salam on that journey. Sahl says, I came and I met Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin and there was a heavy chain around his neck. When I looked at him, that really disturbed me. I told him, Yabna Rasulullah, can I do anything for you? Is there any way I can help you? He told me, Sahl, do you have an old piece of cloth? Sahl was puzzled. He said, oh Imam, why an old piece of cloth? If you want to change your garment, I'll bring you new clothes. Why an old piece of cloth? He said, no Sahl, I don't want to wear it. I don't want to change my garment. But you see these chains, for so many days this heavy metal chain has been placed around my neck. And it's eating at my flesh. And it's very painful. I want to put a piece of cloth between the chain and my neck in order to seek some relief. He said, I went, I got an old piece of cloth. I gave it to Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He said, when he lifted the chain a little bit so he can make room for that cloth between his neck and the chain, he said, I saw the blood flowing from the neck of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Hussein, as-salam.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.